WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number two here on Monday. And today is Money Monday. We have Manny, the Money Man Resendiz, joining us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. Pleasure to be here.
And you say that now, but we say that because, you know, we never know if somebody's going to call in with a panicked question about what's going on. Because we were talking about this off the air. How are people feeling about what's going on? Because no matter how you feel about the progress or lack of progress of any political stance or administration or anything, your money is going to be the first and foremost thing on your mind.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like you fall into one of two camps, and we were kind of touching on this before. You're either going to say to yourself, well, we've been here before, we've gone through this, we're just going to give it time and it'll all work out. And then there's everybody else who's running around like Chicken Little going, the sky is falling and we got to go talk to the king. And so I think for most of us, we should be somewhere in the middle, a little bit of healthy skepticism as well as some positivity. But again, we're all going to react to this differently because it's our money, so it's emotional to us.
But the people that are getting ready to retire that are working with you have been working with you. So you've been doing all that you can to prepare them for a situation like this.
That's exactly it. It's as you're walking through the process of going through retirement, getting ready for it, there are different things that start to pop up in your mind. One of them is you've had a bad day at work. They've given you a new boss who's 15 or 20 years younger than you, and they're changing everything that you've worked with for the last 30 to 40 years. And so now you're telling yourself, all right, do I really need to keep going in? I'm done with this. I want to retire. And so you make this internal commitment to yourself. I'm going to retire. You haven't told anybody else in your family yet. You haven't told your friends. You've just said, I'm going to do this. And now you start to walk through everything you've saved and collected over your entire lifetime. And you kind of have this little bit of a panic of, I don't have enough. I haven't done enough. It's not enough. Even though you haven't sat down and figured out what you need on a monthly basis, you haven't figured out what other sources of income you have, you just have that initial gut reaction. And so if you're going through that right now, and if you're kind of nodding along with me in the radio going, yeah, I just did that this weekend, you're not alone. That's generally that first step. And then that's generally when you start to kind of go through the inventory of what you have and you start to formulate, okay, what do I really need to spend? Can I actually do this? And then that's when you start to seek advice and guidance, whether it's listening to the radio shows, calling a financial advisor, or just looking up on the internet.
I heard, I don't know, I don't think I was listening to your program, but I heard something, it was actually a news report on the radio, yep, where it said that people who were of retirement age are still retiring from their jobs, but now what they're doing is they're supplementing that income by getting, especially like gig economy jobs, so that they're, you know, maybe driving Uber or something so that they don't have to take as much out of their retirement. Do you have a lot of clients that are doing those kind of things, or are you getting people that are more just like, I'd rather just not deal with any of it?
So I would say it's about a 50-50 mix, because part of that transition away from working continuously and then going into retirement, you've got these different stages of retirement. And then that the very beginning is after you've decided you're going to retire and you blow out the sheet cake and collect the gold watch, you go into what we call a retirement vacation. And that can be anywhere from 3 months to 3 years. It just kind of is that transition period where you actually start to accept that you're fully retired. Because to be honest, you and I, we only get 2 weeks at a time throughout the year to prepare how to be retired. And so it's our vacation time.
And you're usually trying to do so much in that time that it doesn't really feel like retirement will feel like.
That's exactly it. And so for some people, they know exactly what they're going to do. They transition really easy. They quit cold turkey. They join the gym. They spend time with the grandbabies. They take the Viking cruise up and down the Rhine River, whatever it is that they had said they were going to do. And then there are others that don't feel like they are ready to be fully retired, right? There's only so many rounds of golf you can play. There's only so many times you can go to Disney. And so they'll do what you were talking about, that gig economy or transition into what we would call a hobby job. It's something that is challenging and fun, but you just happen to get paid for it. Now, they don't necessarily need the money, but they'll take it, and it just makes the rest of their plan stronger.
And that really is, I mean, some people are like that. Some people need a challenge to motivate them every day. You know, some people don't want to just relax. But so I'm sure a lot of folks who are coming into you now who, you know, you've prepared them. You've worked with them over these years, and it is just kind of reinforcing that idea. But you probably do have some people that didn't do enough to prepare and are now really up against it.
Yeah, and so when someone comes in and they have this fear or this anxiety of, did I do enough? Am I going to be okay? The first step we kind of walk through is, hey, we've got a process. We'll walk you through it. There's a formula for retirement. Let's just figure out where you are, what boxes you've already checked off that you may not even known you've done already. And then let's start to kind of break down how we're going to get to your end result. And so we go through what we call our GPS or our guided planning system. And there's 5 steps to it, and we don't skip any of them, and we'll go as fast or as slow as you want. But that first step is just kind of figuring out, where are you? We call it a discovery meeting, and it's more than just me discovering you and what your goals are and you discovering what our company does. It's really discovering, what have you done so far, and then what do you want your retirement to actually look like? Because the financial part, while it is a big component, it's not the most important part, because once it's done and it's set up, you just have to maintain it. It's, how are you mentally going to stay retired, and what are you going to do to keep yourself from getting bored, right? I find that is the biggest killer of retirements, is the boredom or the lack of purpose.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that, you know, that you try to combat that, it's finding out what motivates the person. So it's almost like you're a retirement advisor, not just in the financial sense, but also kind of in the spiritual sense too.
Exactly. There is the idea behind a financial advising is more than just, okay, how much money do you have? Let's divide it by 20 or 30 years and then figure out how much interest we have to earn so you don't run out, right? That is probably the most basic part. When you're walking through retirement, we found that there are 4 things that we should really focus on. 1, do we have enough money to replace your paycheck? Because let's be honest, if we don't have enough money to cover food, shelter, clothing, and medication, we are probably not going to retire. We're going to keep working. Once we've gotten past that first hurdle, do I have enough to be safe? The second is, if I get sick, how does that work? And so we make sure that your medical coverage or your plan for medical is taken care of, whether it's making sure you've got enough money to pay for it, or that you have the right health insurance coverages so that no matter what the world throws at you, you don't have to choose between going to the doctor and buying food. Once those 2 are done, those are your big hurdles. And then we start to look at, how do we make it more efficient? And so we start looking at your taxes, right? Are you paying the least amount of taxes possible over your entire lifetime? And what happens if we sell something, if we buy something, where does the taxes fall into? Because a lot of us will still have older parents. And when they pass, that could be a tax issue. Or it could be when you pass, when that's when we start to look at legacy, which is, what's going to happen when you're done using the money? Because even though you might want to spend all of it before you fully retire, the last time I checked, not all of us bounce the last check the day after we pass. And so whatever you don't spend, you know your significant other, your spouse, or your children are going to spend it for you. So we should probably make sure they get it in the most efficient way possible.
And when you're putting together that plan, I'm sure everything looks good from that moment to somebody. But then the questions start to come, well, what happens if this goes on? What happens if this goes on? Because the world changes around your plans, the best laid plans, as they say.
Yes, a little bit of mice and men. The idea behind that, we try to build in what we call our dedication meetings, where at least once to twice a year, we're checking in and trying to understand, okay, are your goals happening? Are you moving towards the things that make you happy? And is the machine or the plan that we built still working? Just like with your car, you're going to go in every 3 months. You're going to go in every 6 months, whatever it is that your routine schedule is, to make sure that everything's working correctly. And if something's off, you fix it before it breaks. And so that's the idea with your plan, because just looking at what's going on in the market now. One day you're up 300 points, another day you're down 500 points. If you stare at it every day, you're going to drive yourself mad. But you should at least know what's going on and whether or not your plan will handle it. And so that comes down to your risk tolerance and what your overall goals are. If you know what those two are at all times, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You know your plan should have flexibility or safety nets in place to absorb it.
But the R word keeps coming up quite a bit in news reports and certainly in commentaries. So people keep talking about the potential for a recession. Can you build this in a way where you can withstand that?
The short answer is yes, because recessions by themselves, if we just look at it for what they are, they're neither good nor bad. They're just a process of a normal economic cycle. Your day-to-day businesses, your country, your economies will all grow. They'll all pull back, and then they'll recover and grow again. There are four steps to it. Basic economics 101, we've all heard it in some way, shape, or form. And so on paper, the recession itself is not scary. The downside is, where are you in your life at that time? Because if you're 25, 30 years old, just starting out, well, good news. You're going to go through at least two or three more of these before you're done being retired. But if you're 55 or older, you're thinking to yourself, how many more of these can I go through before it becomes detrimental? And so back to your original point, being able to prepare for it comes down to, do you have your money organized where you have assets that are safer, assets that have a little bit of risk, but for the most part, you know they'll still be there, and then those that are long-term or aggressive, anything that you're not going to spend for 5 years or longer. And so we break those into, what's your guaranteed income? What's the money you're going to use to replace your paycheck? Because you're probably not going to gamble those. What's your money that is your predictable income? And that's the stuff you're going to spend over the next 12 months, but it's not critical. It's the fun items. It's the updates on the house. It's the vacations. And then the last is your flexible income. And this is what keeps you ahead of inflation. But you also know that if we hit a downturn in the market, those assets are going to get beat up a little bit, but you're not worried about it because as long as they recover over the next 5 or 6 years, you're okay gambling it. But your other two sources of income or your assets in those other two categories will hold you safe through that time period.
So it sounds like even if you're someone who is not worried about retirement right now, maybe you are one of those young people just starting out, Still having this meeting and discussion with you will help, because you're not just giving them a plan for retirement. You're giving them a financial strategy for now, too. How to make sure that you can get the most out of your paycheck for now and for later.
That's exactly it. Whether you are in the beginning stages or nearing the finish line for retirement, all of this is a formula or a structure. There's no right or wrong way to do it other than pick a strategy and work it until it does not either work for you anymore or till you get to your goal. And so what I have found is that the clients that come in who are the best prepared for retirement on paper, even though mentally they may be questioning whether or not they've done enough, are the ones that got up, went to work, set up money aside in their 401ks, set money aside at the bank for a rainy day fund, and just never stopped doing that. And I find that when they go into retirement, they still keep doing that same mentality. If you were a saver in your working years, you're going to be a saver in your retirement. If you were an investor during your working years, you're going to be an investor in your retirement years. And so you don't change who you are. You just become more comfortable with it, and you start to enjoy life a certain way because you know exactly what to expect because you've done the routine over and over again.
And you've used the word a number of times, that word strategy, because I think people probably go into these meetings expecting to come out of it with a number. Yep. Like, here's what you want. Here's the magic number that if you can get to that, you'll be fine. And instead, it's that number can change because the world changes around it. The strategy is what will actually get you there, not the number.
That's exactly it. There is no magic number. Well, I shouldn't say that. If we win the lottery or Powerball tomorrow, that could be a magic number for many of us. But when it comes to your individual retirement, it's a formula. There's a certain amount of money that you should have in your day-to-day checking and savings account. And we typically look at anywhere from 3 to 5 times whatever your basic bills are. So if it costs you $3,000 a month to run your household, you should have somewhere between $9,000 and $15,000 readily available in liquid cash at the drop of a dime. So you can pay bills. If the world gets in the way, you have it. And then you should have your emergency money, or what I like to call short-term storage, money you know you're going to spend over the next 1 to 2 years, but you've got it sitting in a place earning a little bit more than your day-to-day savings. But if you need to get to it in a pinch, you can. And that should be 3 to 5 times whatever's in your checking account, so that between the two piles, you've got 1 year worth of bills. So if I'm using that $3,000 as an example, you're going to need somewhere between, you know, $27,000 and $45,000 in that middle pile. So that between the two, you get about $36,000 total. And again, this is assuming you need $3,000 a month to live on. And then your last pile, your storage, those are your 401ks, your IRAs, all the things you've been saving for retirement. Everything that if you touch before 59 and a half, the IRS is going to smack your hand for going into the cookie jar way too early. And that should be anywhere from 10 to 20 times whatever it costs to run your household for a year. And so, again, if we're using that $3,000 a month number, that should be anywhere between $360,000 and $720,000. Now, is everyone going to be different? Yes, because if you have a hard pension, if you have a union pension, if you work for Verizon or Eversource, you might not need as much because you have a guaranteed source of income. But if you don't have those items, you might need more, and it just depends on what your lifestyle is. And so we use that formula or that ratio as a starting point, and then we build a strategy around it.
Well, we're just about out of time here. So if people are hearing this and thinking to themselves, okay, I've got what you're talking about, but I have no idea. You know, I've got all these things put away, but I have no idea how to actually make the plan of how to use them.
Yep.
Or maybe you don't have anything saved at all. You can help anybody in any stage of planning for retirement.
Absolutely. So the best thing to do, call the office at 401-727-2727. Reach out, say you heard us on the radio show, and ask to talk with one of the advisors, either myself or any of the others in there, and we'll walk you through the process. If you just want to get information to figure out where you are, go to the website at euclidfs.com, which is EUCLID, F as in financial, S as in services, and you can download a ton of information, worksheets, and you can even schedule your appointment right through the website.
There you go. Of course, people can hear you on the weekends as well with the Retirement Factory.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Manny, for joining us, and I'm glad that we can keep bringing this to everybody every month. We'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
Hopefully the world will calm down a little bit before then, but probably not.
That would just turn the TV off and go outside.
There you go. All right. We got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll give you the news with Mike, and then we'll have the Gen X Files on the other side of that. So that's coming up in the Gen X Files. But right now, let's go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
President Trump marks his first 6 months in office. An update on the Coldplay Kiss Cam CEO. And many couples say they would go into debt for their pet.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump marking his first 6 months in office by proclaiming the U.S. is the hottest and most respected country in the world.
In a Sunday post on Truth Social, Trump claimed his second term as being hailed as one of the most consequential of any president. He went on to list ending major wars and took credit for what he called the revival of the country that was dead 1 year ago. Trump ended the post with "Happy anniversary." I'm Lisa Carton.
The NYPD says it was a moped-riding illegal immigrant who robbed and shot an off-duty Border Patrol agent in a midnight shooting on Saturday in a Manhattan park.
The New York Post is reporting it was an illegal immigrant with a deportation order who shot the federal agent in Fort Washington Park. The suspect is identified as 21-year-old Miguel Francisco Mora Nunez, who the Department of Homeland Security says entered the U.S. illegally in 2023. Mora, a Dominican national, reportedly has a lengthy rap sheet, including 4 arrests in New York City. The 42-year-old federal agent was sitting with a female companion when Mora allegedly robbed him. The two exchanged gunfire. Mora was hit and showed up at Harlem Hospital, where he was arrested. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Reports indicate it was military-style ordnance that exploded and killed three L.A. County sheriff's deputies on Friday. The explosion happened at a training facility and rocked the surrounding East L.A. neighborhoods. Law enforcement sources say that the device had been picked up Thursday in Santa Monica. The blast happened when the deputies were moving it in the training center's parking lot. The White House is using declining gas prices as evidence of President Trump's energy agenda taking effect. It comes after AAA announced the average price of a gallon of gas has dropped to $3.16, marking the lowest seasonal gas price since 2021. A White House spokesperson touted the achievement, saying prices at the pump keep dropping thanks to President Trump unleashing American energy. President Trump says the Genius Act is great for all Americans.
Trump signed the bill into law at the White House on Friday and said this is the right step forward.
Crypto builders and founders were under relentless assault by the Biden administration, which was trying to crush your industry and crush you as people and go after your families. And they were a vicious group of people.
It's Congress's first major cryptocurrency bill in the country, and it creates regulations for a type of cryptocurrency known as stablecoins. The president said the crypto community was mocked for years, but the signing of this bill is a validation of the digital currency. I'm Chris Caraggio.
A new survey says dual-income couples with no kids are going into debt for their pets.
The survey found that 94% of these couples view their pets as family members, with 68% of these pet parents saying they have made financial sacrifices to cover pet essentials. The couples surveyed spend an average of $1,900 a year on their pets. Only 11% of those surveyed said they don't splurge on their pets. I'm Lisa Taylor.
$1.3 billion in frozen federal funding is being released by the White House for after-school programs. The move comes after pressure to release the funds started coming within President Trump's own party. The Trump administration earlier this month announced it would be withholding nearly $7 billion in school funding, citing what it called instances of money being grossly misused to subsidize a radical left-wing agenda. Tech company Astronomer launching an investigation after its CEO was caught on camera snuggling up with the head of human resources. Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot were shown on the Jumbotron at a Coldplay concert in Foxborough, and they immediately tried to hide their faces from the camera. The company said it's looking into the matter and will share details shortly. A clip of the embrace went viral online, getting more than 20 million views. Byron resigned over the weekend.
WBSM Sports.
The Sox avoided being swept in Chicago yesterday, beating the Cubs 6-1. Red Sox traveled to Philadelphia tonight. First pitch, 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're expecting tons of sunshine as we go through the day today, a light northwesterly wind, and a cool, comfortable high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, we're expecting clear skies. Your low will be between 65 and 70 degrees, and the sun will continue to shine for Tuesday with a high near 78. I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And we had a great time at Stevie's on Saturday for the summer grand tasting. Lots of great stuff to try and sample. Found some things that I brought home and some things I'm going to go pick up before my next summer party that I'll be attending. So if you missed out on any of the stuff that they were sampling, well, just pop into Stevie's, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. See if anything's got a purple dot next to it that catches your eye. And then you can try before you buy. But definitely some very good things that I got to bring home with me, including, I'd never seen this before, but a bottled Old Fashioned that was so good, put out by Bully Boy. So I made sure I brought a bottle of that home. Love an Old Fashioned. And I love it even more when I don't have to do the work. Just pour it out of the bottle. All right. Well, it is time for our daily look at all things pop culture.
the Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. We'll start off with celebrity birthdays. Singer-songwriter Yusuf Islam, also known by his stage name Cat Stevens, is 77 today. Actor and comedian John Lovitz is 68, and he will likely celebrate with his wife, Morgan Fairchild. Yeah, that's the ticket. Actress Ally Landry, seen most recently on Landman, is 52. Actor Josh Hartnett and musician Damian Marley both turn 47 today. Former New York Yankee CeCe Sabathia is 45. Actress Juno Temple, better known as Keeley on Ted Lasso, and actor Rory Culkin, better known as, well, Macaulay and Karen's little brother, they're both 36 today. July 21st, 1972, comedian George Carlin was arrested for his infamous Seven Dirty Words routine. Charges were dropped, but a later complaint about a broadcast of his act would propel the issue of indecent speech all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Controversial punk rock group The Sex Pistols made their debut on the British music show Top of the Pops, where they lip-synced to their third single, Pretty Vacant, a number 7 hit in the UK. The band's bassist, also the song's co-writer Glenn Matlock, claimed that the tune was inspired by ABBA's SOS. And I guess you can kind of hear that a little bit in the song, too. July 21st, 1987, Los Angeles rockers Guns N' Roses unleashed their debut album, Appetite for Destruction, aided by 3 hit singles, Welcome to the Jungle, Paradise City, and Sweet Child of Mine. The album quickly rose to the top of the Billboard 200. It would eventually amass U.S. sales of over 18 million, making it the best-selling debut LP of all time in America. In 1994, Oasis made their U.S. debut at Wetlands in New York City as part of an annual music industry convention called the New Music Seminar. The Manchester band would soon become Britpop icons. On July 21st, 2007, the 7th and final Harry Potter novel, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, is released with an initial print run of 12 million copies in the United States alone. That is the Gen X Files for July 21st, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler. And where all month long they are celebrating National Ice Cream Month with special days all through July. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for more information and stop by and try handmade hand scoop flavors such as cappuccino chip, walnut fudge, M&M's make friends, and here's one. How about some Christmas in July with eggnog ice cream? Check it out at McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. All right. That was a very music-based edition of the Gen X Files. But it's hard to believe when you think about it that the Appetite for Destruction album is almost 40 years old. It's crazy. It's crazy. As I was watching this Billy Joel documentary on HBO Max, I was thinking about how old some of those songs are, and I was like, well, I mean, they talked about the band and the management team working with Billy for over 50 years, and I was like, 50 years? I was like, well, yeah, I guess I'm almost 50. And then I watched the CNN series on Live Aid. And I was like, yeah, that was 40 years ago. I remember listening to that on the radio and then later watching parts of it on TV. It was my sisters had dancing school and we were in the car like waiting for them to come out of their dance class, my dad and my brother and I. My brother was like a year old. It might have been two. Right, would have been a year old. We're waiting for them to come out of dancing class, and we're just sitting in the car listening to this broadcast. And my dad telling us, like, how historic this was. It's like, not only because of the money they're going to be raising to help with famine in Africa and Ethiopia, but also because of just how unique it was to have shows going on either side of the Atlantic. And you got Phil Collins riding the Concorde. So he was able to do the Wembley show and the Philadelphia show on the same day. Just interesting stuff. But what I didn't realize until I was watching that documentary last night was just how little money was coming in during that show. You know, you hear the stories all the years of Bob Geldof apparently saying, you know, give us your effing money. But they played the clip last night. That's not exactly what he said. He said, don't worry about the effing address, because they were trying to give out the address to send in the money. He's like, don't worry about the effing address. Just give us the money. Like, basically saying, you know, call us. But they only got, I think it was $328 million in through like the early part of the day, $328,000 through most of the day, which is, you know, not a lot of money when you're putting on a global event to try to encourage people to donate. And then, of course, in the end, they raised hundreds of millions of dollars between both Live Aid and Live 8. But it's a very interesting documentary. I know some of you like refuse to watch CNN, but their documentaries are very, very good. So if you haven't caught any of the ones, you know, like the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, those documentaries, or certainly, you know, some of the pop culture ones they've done. The Linda Ronstadt one was great. The Luther Vandross one. Like, if you haven't seen those, highly recommended. They're basically being produced for HBO Max, but they run them on CNN. All right, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We will be back in a few moments. Well, it's not going to be too hot in this city. It's going to be a little bit cooler today and through this week, but don't let the fact of it being cooler out there mean that you can't still give yourself a nice frozen drink or a cocktail or even a mocktail to cool you down, because they're all available at Brack's Grill and Tap. Frozen coconut mudslides, watermelon Hugo spritzers, and more of your favorite summertime drinks are available. They've got plenty of indoor and outdoor seating. And don't forget, too, they've got great lunches every day on their lunch value menu, $12.99 Monday through Friday. You can grab things like a half pizza and salad combo, the saucy bird chicken sandwich, or their pasta of the day, plus burgers, plus soups, salads, all kinds of great things. And it starts at just $12.99 Monday through Friday at Brack's Grill and Tap. You can visit Brack's Grill and Tap in Brockton or Taunton, or the all-new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. And when you're in Newport, stop by Brack's Cafe and start your day with coffee, bakery items, sandwiches, and more. For information, you can go and visit them online, BracksGrillAndTap.com. But I also recommend following all of their locations on Facebook, so you always get the latest specials and fun events that they have planned at Brack's. All right, well, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will be going into the news. But on the other side of that, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We can talk with him about all of the news of the past week. Starting off with Councillor Morad saying she will not be running for re-election. He did put out a press release about that, but we can get some more thoughts from him on that. The vote to restore these fundings for the funding for the support agreement for the Zeitarian. So we'll get more on that as well. And of course, the other supplemental budget items being pushed off to the Finance Committee meeting so that they can have further discussion on it. And then they'll vote again August 21st at the next full council meeting. So we'll find out about all the different steps involved in that with Council President Burgo coming up. And we'll take your calls and questions with him at 508-996-0500. We will take your app chat and open line voicemail questions as well. And I can also tell you, too, that this week, We've got another concert. I got to go in there and update the information. I just realized that I thought that I did it, but I haven't yet. So I'll do it in a little bit. But we have another week of giveaways for Linkin Park. So this week we'll be giving away tickets for the August 1st show. So last week we gave away tickets for the July 31st show. This week we'll be giving away tickets for the August 1st show to see Linkin Park. And we will have that updated for you hopefully soon at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. My fault. I didn't get to that yesterday. I thought that I did. I had so much going on. See, basically Sundays, I get up in the morning. I try to sleep until whenever I feel like getting up, usually like around 9:30, 10 a.m. And then I go right to work for a couple of hours working on Jim's Town Square Sunday articles and some other stuff to get ready for the week. And usually like around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I'm done. And then I try to just veg out. And yesterday the cat was getting all up in my face. He was like, this is supposed to be our sitting on the chair time. What are you doing? I've been waiting for you all weekend. Why aren't we sitting on the chair? And so I think I might have just rushed into it and wasn't paying attention. So Apollo got his chair time, but I got to get the contest up there for you. And of course, that's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They sponsor all of our ticket giveaways here on the program. So there's an interesting story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you are someone who finds yourself out in New Bedford late at night looking for a place to eat, and there really isn't a lot of places to go to after hours. I mean, I was thinking about this a couple times in recent weeks when I was coming home from speaking at the Attleboro Library, and I was trying to find a place that was open that wasn't fast food to get something to eat for dinner. And then when I was coming home from the Cyndi Lauper concert, I hadn't eaten anything. And I said, oh, I wish I could just stop and get something, but I don't want fast food. And so there's not a lot of places where you can get late night food around here. But now there's a new place that's coming. Well, it's a place that already exists, but they're putting out a new late night version. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you are somebody, especially with the early goings here, they're going to be doing burgers and wings, but with plans to add more to the menu, including some breakfast. I mean, I was dying for some breakfast after I dropped my friend off at the airport. And I'm coming home from Boston. It's like 4:30 in the morning, 4:45 in the morning. And I pulled over and started looking up like every place I might want to go for breakfast to see who was open. Every place opened at 7 a.m. How do you open at 7 a.m. on a Saturday for breakfast? Why is there no place that opens up at 6 or 5? When I was working in that business, I was opened up 5 or 6 every day. So I don't know why they got to wait till 7. People want breakfast early on a Saturday, right? I was really upset because I was like, I'm going to drive by this restaurant in Bridgewater where they have the baked apple pancake like they used to have at Bickford's. I'll stop in there and get one. They must open at 5. Nope. They don't open until 7. Well, I was like, well, I'm not going to go hang out in the parking lot for 2 hours, so I guess I'm just going home. Anyway, I've got to get this last break in. We will be right back. All right. Well, we are going to be going into the news in a moment. When we come back, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo for his regular weekly appearance. We'll take your calls with him as well. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voice.